You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage, heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. Warning, the views expressed come from men who've spent half their lives in grease-stained overalls, inhaling hazardous fluids. Before taking any advice, consider the source. This program will contain humor of a questionable nature. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al.
Yeah!
Hit it.
I was a little premature.
I wasn't. I was born right on time. Welcome. It's Dave's Corner Garage, and we're live and clear here in beautiful downtown Toronto. And today we got what I always say is another great show for you today. Joining us is Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance. We recently had a classic car auction here in the city, and we're going to be talking about the values of cars this year. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning.
Right? We're going to be talking about, well, you know, the prices of cars have gone up. Carrie Schmidt, of our favorite OPP officer, is going to be calling in. We're in about 5 or 6 days into the new legislation about cannabis. Mary Jane, what else do you call it?
Pot.
Okay. The first one that got pulled over apparently was out of Winnipeg. The guy was driving on expired plates. The officer looked in the window and found an open bag. Well, apparently that's a $672
hit. I don't get it. I don't get it. But if the guy rolled the window down and there was no smoke that hit him in the face, you're allowed possession.
Yeah, but you're not. It's like liquor. You can't have an open bottle in the car.
Okay.
So we'll talk
we'll
about
have to
that.
Talk to Officer stuff, Schmidt
right?
about that.
Jim Matthews is going to join us. Also, the same topic is Mary Jane. If you have a lease car or a rental car and you're smoking it up inside, well, you're actually damaging the vehicle.
Really?
And it's going to cost you money.
Wow.
So it's, look, get that smell out of there. I mean, that stuff really is strong.
Well, that's why some of it's called...
Not that I would know from experience,
but I heard
about it.
Some of it's called skunk pot, eh? Because it does smell.
Well, we're going to talk about what that's going to cost you if you're doing that in your lease car.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to remind you that we have a contest. Car Generator is giving away one of their units, plus mm-hmm. we're going to give you $250.
That you can go buy some more pot with.
Or gasoline, whatever you like.
Whatever you like.
So we're going to give you that dose so you can run your generator in case you had to. And Alan, take us out.
For the most part, it sounds like we've gone to pot today, but we're not. We've got Jeff Lant. Oh, hey, pass that over, would you? This is Dave's Corner Garage. If you've got a car care problem or your lighter doesn't work in the car, give us a call right now. We'll be right back.
We'll be happy to take the call. All right, welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. The garage door is wide open. We're first going to talk with Jeff Coy, and then we'll take some calls. Jeff, the recent collector car auction just finished a couple of weeks ago, or I think it was last week.
Last week, yep.
Right?
Yep.
Serious money for some of these cars. I mean, I can't believe what great money they did get.
Yeah, the values are doing well. They're back up a bit.
Like kind of like the stock market, eh? They go up and down. What makes them go up and down? Do we have any clue?
It just trends... across the different auctions across North America, mm-hmm. what is the kind of the flavor of the year for
okay.
collector cars? And it's typically it's been 60s racing pedigree cars, you know, Ferraris, Porsches, Mercedes that have any kind of racing pedigree. Those are the crazy values. You
know, yeah, that's
car
like,
at Pebble Beach at right. 67 Ferrari GTB sold for $48 million. That was a record.
That costs more in my house.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's crazy. But for the most part, that's not what comes across the block.
No,
maybe only one or two a year, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
The majority of the cars, I'm going to guess, are probably, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s kind of cars. That
well, here a 28 Cadillac Dual Phaeton. Now we were talking about this one. This is Amelia Island Concourse winner.
Right.
Right. So this is a first class.
But that's the star of the show. That's not. Yeah.
Okay. $187,000. $187,000. And Jeff was saying in the green room.
That's that's a good deal.
Yeah.
A really good deal. I think that's
good deal for the guy who bought it.
Conservatively undervalued at $100,000.
So that would be $250,000 car?
Definitely. Definitely.
So if I was in that business, I would take that car now and ship it to Barrett Jackson out in Scottsdale?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and you're looking to pick up $100,000?
Well, I would think so.
Right? Is there a large market with Americans buying this classic stuff and pulling it out of the country?
No more than usual. No.
No?
There's always been a contingent buyers coming up here, but it's, you know, the market, they have the cars there. You know, we don't have the volume.
Yes, exactly. They're 10 times the population.
So, the cars are going back and forth, but there just hasn't been a lot of, stellar cars up here.
Well, first of all, in terms of, your blue-collar cars,
right.
I've heard from serious collectors that say they won't even really look at a Canadian car because, for the most part, if a Canadian car was on the road,
it's rusty.
It's probably rusted out, right? So why even bother? And, in fact, when people are looking for cars, isn't the tagline, Arizona car or Western car.
Yes.
That's always something that people are attracted to, eh?
But they still got serious money. I mean, they got a Chevy Corvette Camaro, brought $72,000. That was a nice car. I saw that car.
Okay.
Right? The Woody's Ford Station Wagon.
Yep, 49.
Right? Woody. Now, that brought $72,000.
Yep. Yeah, that
right?
That brought some good money.
So he had at least, 20 strong cars that brought serious money. And the others still brought $20,000 and $30,000. That's not chicken feed.
No. The cars, it was a great sell-through.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the stats yet, but they did well.
Now, is it because interest rates are low and then people want to invest their money into something like this, knowing that it's going to go up in value and then bring it back?
It's a tangible investment. It's something that you can enjoy.
Well, that's the big part, eh? It's not like you're just investing in a stock market or you're buying property.
Right.
A car is something that you can actually play with and take it out and drive it and enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's where you come in.
And when you're ready to sell it, you probably made some money on it.
So. Right. And now that's where you come in because you make it possible for them to buy insurance for this stuff.
That's right.
So you got at this $187,000 Cadillac. The premium's still very low.
It is. It is. It'd be 60%, lower than a car of that value, a new car.
Of that value?
Yeah, of that value, yeah.
So he's paying $1,500 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't want to quote on air.
No, I'm just kidding.
You go on our website, land.ca,
yes.
landinsurance.ca, and you can do a quote in about 30 seconds.
So how did you start in this business? I mean, this is such a unique market.
Yeah, just through people I knew. I've been in the insurance business for 31 years now, and about 17 years ago, a friend in the business, his best friend had this classic car offering that he started in 1978, and it was growing like crazy. Back around 2001, 2002, the insurance industry changed a bit, and a lot of cars at that time were on garage policies and things like that, and rules tightened up. So he already had the plan in place, and then business was just flowing in the door, and I just landed there. I always had an interest in cars, so it was a great fit.
Well, I guess for the most part, people who had cars didn't want to insure them all year because they weren't driving them that often, right?
Right. That's how he started. His client came to him and said, "I have, I had a collection of British cars, MGs,
right.
Triumphs," and he said, "Why am I paying the same amount of money when I only drive these cars? A third of the time I drive my daily drivers,
right."
Can you do something?
That's because they don't start in the winter. I used to have a Triumph. I used to have to pour ether into the carburetors for that bugger to start up and get to school.
Yeah, if it would get cloudy, those cars wouldn't start.
They were terrible.
Yeah.
But I had a friend who had a Jaguar, and he had to go. He was actually the Jaguar representative for Ontario, and he had to go to North Bay. And then when he got to the North Bay, the dealer says, "How the hell did you get here? We better get it inside." It won't start.
No, but for the most part, people in the past, I guess what they had tried to do is they just canceled their insurance. But it's quite interesting because, a lot of people are in condos these days. And we brought up a point a couple of weeks back when you were on that when you park a car in your underground and if you have no insurance on it, and even if it's damaged by someone else hitting it,
right,
you have no coverage.
You could be out, especially if the person doesn't have proper insurance.
Yeah.
Or doing something. We've had situations where, someone's impaired driving and smashed into a garage.
Mm-hmm.
The car in the garage had no insurance.
Because it was parked in the garage.
Right.
And because his own insurance company didn't cover him.
So there's no insurance.
Wow, that's crazy. So you could have this, priceless car parked in the underground with a cover on it and everything, and not have.
So what are you suggesting? They keep it year round? It's cheap enough to keep year round?
Yes, that's what it's based on. It's right. Prorated. For the season.
I understand.
Then,
so
that's why the rates are so much lower.
So this is a situation where you don't say just take collision off, just
right.
Leave it
you
on.
Have it covered all year.
Yep.
For all perils. Fair.
So Lant Insurance is lantinsurance.ca.
Lantinsurance.ca, yep.
Right. And or you can go to our website, just click on the button Lant Insurance, and it'll take you to a site that they have, which tells you what's going on in Ontario, like car shows and fall fairs, etc.
Cruise nights, yep.
Okay, Al,
speaking
take us
of
out.
What's going on, the music's playing in the background means we got to jump, but we've got lines are full already. We've got Bob and Pat and Donna in Chippewa. I'm going to ask her which part of the province that is.
Sounds like this. Lackawanna.
That's what I thought. All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We're heard around the world. We're going to be right back.
Yeah, welcome back. You know, I was just reading an article about they're saying that cars that are undercoated or sprayed with oil are actually safer. And it's actually true. And they're just finding that out now. Duh,
sorry. It's like, did you see the thing about seatbelts in school buses?
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, like that's... Really, I don't know how they could ever try to convince people, you know, back in the 80s when they did that last survey that school buses were better.
Well, they're better than walking.
Better without seatbelts. That made no sense whatsoever. All right, we're going to go to Donna now, who's in Chippewa. Chippewa is where, Donna?
Hello.
Hi, where is Chippewa?
Oh, I told the gentleman it's the oldest part of Niagara Falls.
Okay, on the Canadian side?
Yeah, the War of 1812.
Yeah. So Elizabeth Warren could be from there, from the United States Senator, because she's 0.00015% Indian.
All right, Donna, what kind of car are you driving?
I am not driving it.
Oh.
Well, what kind of car was it?
The 2009 Pontiac G6. It only has 95,000 kilometers on it, and the transmission went into major failure.
Uh-huh.
And I just wondered, is this normal?
Actually, no, but it's sometimes not even the transmission, especially at such low mileage. It could actually be a computer that operates it. Who's the local transmission guy in your area?
Okay, I don't have one here in Chippewa. I have to actually tow the car to Niagara Falls.
Okay, did anybody check the fluid level in the car?
Yeah, we did.
And it's up or down?
It's normal.
It is normal, eh?
Does it smell burnt?
No. Now, you know that thing that's under the steering wheel, that electronic thing where they put that machinery in?
Yeah.
The computer thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never had a car that modern before. I didn't even know about all this.
The DIL. In,
right.
And it read out, the girl said, the lady that was with me said it read out 20 things, and it literally, if you sum it up, the transmission was trash.
Okay.
So should I believe the guy?
Well, what was your symptom originally? When you last parked it, when you were driving it, what was it doing?
I was at a stoplight.
Yeah.
And just out of the blue, it was driving perfectly up until I hit the stoplight, and it wouldn't go forward after the light turned green.
Okay, but the engine starts and runs, but you put it into drive and nothing happens.
So then I coaxed it, and it gunned, like it kind of like you could hear it roaring, but it wouldn't move. Finally,
right.
I got it to move. I got it home.
Right.
But I had to go back out because I had promised people, you know, to pick them up and do things. And so I ended up just out on the cusp of Chippewa at a gas station.
Right, and that's where it died on you.
Buying gas, and I just said, no. It wouldn't move from the gas pump, so I just parked it.
Driving it a second time was a bad idea.
Well, from your explanation, from your description, it certainly does sound like the transmission's gone.
Yeah, it sounds like the clutches are gone.
Yeah. And there is no cheap fix, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, as far as being a regular thing, not really. Cars do go through transmissions when they get older, but...
Okay, here's your problem. Your car's 9 years old. It's not an expensive model. Its value is probably in the area of about $1,000 if it was running.
If
maybe
it was
50,
running.
Right?
Yeah.
So, do you want to...
It's only worth $1,000?
If it was running, but it's not running. Okay, so now here is your problem. Are you going to invest $2,500 to $3,000 in this to make the car work? So, that's your main question. If the answer is yes, and you do need the car, and it's only got 95Ks, and the rest of it's okay, then I would invest the money. So I think your next step should be is tow it to a competent garage and have the car audited. Have them go through the brakes, go through the body, the brake lines, the whole thing, all right? And then you know what you're dealing with. So if you find out the rest of the car is in good condition, fix the tranny and continue to use it.
Right, but otherwise, if there's issues, for example, if it's going to need brakes soon, if it's going to need tires soon, you know, those
are... The tires are pretty much toast, too, but...
Yeah, well, maybe...
Well, there you go. So there's another $500, $600 that you're going to add to the cost.
You'd be better off to buy another car.
Probably best to get a new one. Donna, thank you very much for calling in.
Yep, we got to go. All righty. Just a quick reminder, there's a new thing going on in the States where they'll actually come to your house to fill the gas. In other words, just like Uber, instead of you going out and renting a car, these companies come to your home, check your car's oil, check everything else, clean the windshields, top it up. It's called Shell Tap Up. Shell Tap Up is the first large company that's going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it for here, boy. You know, it's cold outside. I don't want to go to the gas station. Just call them up, and just like off your phone, they'll fill up your car. Good
for,
stuff.
For free, eh?
Wow.
Yeah, a bit of a premium,
the free part,
think.
They haven't worked out yet.
All right, after the break, Dave, where are we going?
We're going to see Sergeant Schmidt.
Okay, there you go. Pull over.
We'll be right back.
Hands on the fender.
We have one phone line that's open.
Assume the position. This is Dave's Corner
Never
Garage.
Never mind the guy behind the curtain.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we're probably in day five of the new legislation regarding the recreational use of pharmaceuticals.
Pot.
Pot.
Herb.
And I remember, like, this is like the flavor of the month. We were just talking about that. When the HOV labels came out, everybody in town was talking about HOV. Now I see guys, you know, with one person in the car driving HOV lane and nobody even cares. So is that the same thing that's going to happen here with marijuana, Mr. Sergeant Swiss?
No. And we still do care about those HOV lane violators. They still do get ticketed. But smoking, yes, it is legal, but it is illegal to be impaired. So if you're getting that little buzz off of that joint and you get into a vehicle, there is a problem.
Now, question. Now, apparently, if you have possession of the pot in the car, is there an issue with that?
There is. It's like liquor. You can't have liquor, open liquor available to you, and you can't have marijuana accessible to the driver. So that is a problem as well, and we've charged many people with that already since Wednesday.
Has any of this stuff, none of it's gone to court, though, has it?
No, that's still outstanding. But it's just been a couple of days here right now, and new charges being issued. We were doing ride all this week already, looking for impaired drivers, and sadly, we're still finding them impaired by alcohol and impaired by drug.
Now, there's a story out of Winnipeg where a guy was pulled over because his plates had expired, and when the officer came to the window, there's this bag of marijuana sitting in his front console, and he got charged under this new law, $672.
What's the actual charge called? I mean, it's not just possession, because possession is no longer...
Yeah.
What do you call it?
Cannabis within reach of the driver of a vehicle. And here, I believe it's a $175 fine, so it's not as steep as that Manitoba fine. But it is still an offense. And I can tell you, just some of our guys doing a ride last night charged two different people with that that particular offense, including other drivers that were charged with impaired driving for cannabis. And one story I'll tell you real quickly. Last night, an off-duty officer saw this transport truck fully loaded slam into the concrete wall on the QEW.
Ooh.
And then get off the highway, slam into a tree on the just off the QEW. Officers finally got a hold of him, and he was impaired by marijuana, and who knows what other drugs he was on, because he's got three separate possession charges for other illegal drugs, plus the impaired driving and the dangerous driving that he was found as he's... You know, slamming into traffic and slamming into property on and off the highway.
No insurance on that one, buddy.
We lost them.
Oh, we lost them, yeah. But that's interesting. You know, I guess if they're charged, they didn't. There's no insurance. I mean, you're driving impaired.
Nope.
Right.
Nothing. No. Do you run into stuff like this when you're importing and exporting cars out of the country, marijuana?
We haven't yet.
No?
Not to our knowledge. No.
Well, a while back we were importing cars from the U.S. when it was worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling us to look out for guns.
Oh,
the Americans have a habit of hiding a gun under the seat or under the dash.
Right.
And look out for guns because they will grab the car.
I'm back.
Oh, good. Kerry, you're back. Kerry, no insurance on that guy, right, if he's impaired?
Well, yeah. The insurance company's not going to be paying any premiums or any repairs when you're impaired. Alcohol or drug. Criminal offenses, absolutely. That is, I don't want to pay my premiums to offset this guy's stupidity for driving while impaired. So, no, I wouldn't want to see that happening either.
Now, the only testing that you're doing is a sobriety test, correct?
That's right. We do a drug recognition test, which is a DRE test. We do a roadside test as well, and then we do the more advanced, elaborate test in the detachment, where they check all sorts of things, including the person's heart rate and blood pressure, and they can take urine samples, they can take blood samples as well, depending on the outcome or the condition of the driver.
Now, this would be after they've failed this roadside sobriety test, correct?
That's right. They will fail the initial roadside test, and then they will do more advanced a test in a detachment where they'll check for the sobriety of the person.
You know, we have to charge the marijuana, but we have to tell you got diabetes.
Well, again, there's medical reasons for using marijuana as well, but if you're impaired, you cannot be in a vehicle and start driving.
A lot of guys use the oil because of medical reasons, so they're not really getting high, but they do have marijuana in their system.
That's right, and that is if your doctor prescription tells you that you can drive after having whatever medication it is, obviously you can't take it to excess because you have to still be competent in operating a motor vehicle. But if you are driving, I don't care if you have a prescription or not, impaired driving is illegal regardless of your prescription or whatever therapy you're using this for.
Hmm. I'm just thinking of all those bicycles on the out there.
<Yeah. laughs>
But that's not your department.
Well, you know what? And impaired driving is the same offense under alcohol or drug impaired driving. So whether you are operating your car, you're driving your golf cart or your ATV, whatever you are, if you're operating a vehicle and it is being operated by someone who's impaired, there is a concern. There's an issue there, and we're going to take them off the road.
Yeah. All right. So they're going to be. You're going to be having the spot checks then, specifically for this?
Yeah, and we were doing spot checks every night since Wednesday. We do tens of thousands of spot checks every single day, or every single year, and every day we certainly do multiple rides all across the province.
Well,
that is what we're going to continue to do, especially leading up to the festive ride season.
Okay, I just want to know, what are we getting this year, scrapers or coupons? Because coupons.
You get a nice greeting from an officer, and you'll have the confidence knowing that the roads in front of you are checked, and they should all be sober and safe.
Well, so, you know, I just north of us is a bridge, and they always have spot checks there, and they were handing out scrapers. I had like six scrapers.
There you go. Well, there's never any excuse to have windows covered in ice.
No.
So.
All right, Kerry, safe driving. Keep up the good work, my friend.
All right, thanks, man. You too, guys. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
All right, Dave's Corner Garage. We'll get back to our calls right after this break.
Alrighty, welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. By the way, if you're on the phone, please hold on because we'll not leave you hanging. If you don't get on the phone by the time the show's over, we will get to you after the show, and then we'd be glad to answer your questions. Right, Al?
We will, definitely. We got Jeff Coy in the studio from Lant Insurance. We've been talking about collector or specialty car insurance. Now, Jeff, when you want to figure out what it's going to cost for me to insure my car, how do we come up with that number?
We talk about the value of your car.
Okay.
So we discuss the value. First, the question is usually someone's just purchased a classic car.
Uh-huh.
What'd you pay for it?
Right.
And then we research the value with the different tools we have at hand that track the average values. We base it on market values. So
mm-hmm.
The current market value of the car, and we have resources that will tell us what the current market value is for these cars based on sales and auctions across North America.
So he paid too much. What happens now?
Well, then we tell them.
Well, too bad.
You paid too much.
You overpaid in the actual value, and we can show you that the last number.
The values are a guide.
Right.
So there's always room, you know, up or down from what you paid for it.
So can I tell you I want more insurance? I can buy more insurance than it's worth?
Within reason.
Within reason, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then at that point, and then what our policy is based on is not just you're agreeing to the value, it's an agreed value, but we have an exclusive coverage called guaranteed value,
mm-hmm.
where once you set up your policy, that value is guaranteed. So in the event of a total loss that's covered by your insurance, you're paid out.
Okay, 100%. It's not a total loss. It was a show and a guy pranged the fender.
Yeah,
right?
So you're covered up to that guaranteed value to fix the car.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay.
Yeah. So you could take it to the body shop and have it fixed, and your insurance company is going to cover it.
Yeah.
Because it's still only a car, right? It's
not right.
We have another coverage called Cherish Salvage.
What's that mean?
You can buy up front so that if you want to, your car's a write-off, but you still want to keep your car, right? If without this coverage, you pay the salvage. You pay the difference the damage of the car to what it's
whatever
worth.
Whatever the value is.
Yeah.
Then you get to rebuild it all over again.
Right. So, but a lot of these guys still want the car. They still want that frame of the 1928 Cadillac that they still use. So you buy this up front. It's marginal cost compared to what you would pay for salvage. So you're buying it up front. So
I think it's a great
idea. You
not
only get your guaranteed value, that mm-hmm. total value of the car, you get to keep the car.
You know, that what we don't talk about is that you actually offer insurance for everything else, too. So you can do the house. You can do my regular road car.
Yeah. Yeah, we do your regular cars and house. Yeah.
Yeah, because we've just been focusing on this part of your business.
Yeah.
So you can have a whole package, like the whole thing.
We'll look after everything for you. Yep.
All right. Any restrictions at all, though, to, you know, it's my prized car and I like to drive it in the summer. Is there any limitations to how often or, you know, how many miles I can put on it?
Yeah, we don't like to use the term restrictions. Mm-hmm. It's limited use, so it's
guidelines.
Not your daily guidelines. It's not your daily driver, but we want you to enjoy it. Doesn't mean you have to be going to a car show or have to be going to a car event. You can drive it anytime, any day, as long as it's not your daily grocery getter.
So you take the grandkids out, you go have fun.
Yeah, visit buddies, go for ice cream, go for a tour.
If you don't have grandkids, I can loan you mine.
But question quickly, let's say you wanted to take it for a longer jaunt. You know, you wanted to go out for a week. Would you be covered for that length of time?
Yep.
Yeah, they have events where they drive to California or something.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, there's tours or guys that drive to Florida. And
All right, super.
It cruises on all the way down.
Latin insurance, about half the price of regular insurance.
No, even less.
Even less?
Yeah.
It's a bargain.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Jim Matthews and the effects of marijuana smoke in your car, if you're leasing it or renting it. And then we'll get to the phones full time and we'll get our calls all done.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back.
And welcome back. My name's Dave Renninger. I'm with Alan Gelman and Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance. That's lantinsurance.ca, by the way, if you want to get on their site. Jim Matthews is with us. Jim is from LeaseBusters. He moves a lot of product. And we were talking this morning about people smoking it up in their leased or rented car. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. So what's the effect? Is this the same like a hotel room? You pay a fine if you smoked up in your car?
Nothing yet. And by the way, nobody smokes while they're driving. It's only the passengers.
Right.
But what's that hand sticking out the window flipping something?
Not sure.
No, but very serious. I mean, I had a guy with a Cadillac years ago that smoked cigars, and there's no way you could sell that car afterwards.
No.
It was horrible. I mean, they do have machines that will get some of that smell out. Do they
remember
not?
The ozone machines? We had ozone machines.
Yeah?
That's right. And there's some very, very popular and effective product to get cigarette and cigar smoke out these
right.
days. The challenge is, of course, most times the cleanup shops, they don't have, or they really haven't been confronted with cannabis residue and cannabis smell and so forth. So really, that's an unknown. But in terms of resale value, in terms of lease returns, which is very near and dear to my heart and
right.
to my customers, there's really nothing on the lease contracts and documentation today, but I expect something sooner rather than later. Now, it used to be back in, let's say, the 60s and 70s when leasing wasn't that popular, but 40 to 50% of the population smoked cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's less than 20%. So we're not dealing with a huge, significant problem. And as you mentioned, Alan, there is technology today to get rid of the smell. So I don't think it's become as big of an issue. Having said that, if I'm one of the lessors, like a premium captive such as Mercedes-Benz or Audi Financial or right. Lexus, whatever the case may be, I would be entering on the excess wear and tear clause that these vehicles should be non-smoking vehicles, whether it's marijuana or cigarettes, cigars, whatever the case may be.
But they'll have that rule will have to be written into the contract, correct?
It will be. And I checked a couple of contracts yesterday, and I didn't see that rule being written in. But it is very, very, very real. Like, in other words, we have customers that are unable to get out of their lease contract because the car stinks of smoke. The only person that's going to take over a smoker's vehicle
is another smoker.
That actually smokes in their vehicles. Because I know lots of people that smoke cigarettes. They don't smoke in their car. Number one, even a smoker doesn't like the smell of an ashtray. And cars do pick up and hold the smell of cigarettes.
No question. I mean, some people are quite fanatical about this.
Yes.
When I worked at a new car dealership 100 years ago, well, not that long, but and this guy wanted to know if there was a way that we could prove to him that the vehicle was never smoked in. And I went, wow, seriously, like at least 10 different people have been in this car before it ever got to the dealership, right? Mm-hmm. You know, moved off the truck, moved off the boat. Who the heck knew? I said, well, stick your nose in there. Can you smell it or you can't, you know?
That's all you can do. We had a situation where we had a car at our mechanical facility and one of their technicians smoked cigarettes. He would never smoke in a customer's car, but because the smell was on him, this customer actually said somebody was smoking in my car.
Wow.
It's very real out there. And there's where you can smoke, you know, in public spots and on the sidewalk, so on and so forth. So I'm really surprised that some of the leasing companies are a little bit behind on this because, you know, again, one of the main reasons perhaps why they are is smoking cigarettes is still a legal
lifestyle
pastime.
Exactly. Well, or a substance, legal substance. And same with cannabis now. It's a legal substance. So wait a minute. I'm going to say to whoever, wait a minute, you can't let me do something legal, and you're allowed to smoke cigarettes in a car, so therefore you are allowed to smoke cannabis in a car, not while driving.
Yeah, but when you return a car, it's got to be in reasonable shape. I mean, my own wife's car had a hole in the carpet because of her high heels. I mean, I had to pay to get that fixed.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, if you're going to burn holes in the seats because you leave the seeds in, hey, you're going to have to fix that.
Yes, but that's your normal seat. That's true, real excess wear and tear.
Exactly. So you're going to have to be responsible for it.
So I had a salami and garlic sandwich in the car with onions.
Well, if you didn't finish the whole thing and left it under the seat, that car is going to be a stinker for sure. Jimmy, thanks very much. Have yourself a great weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, great. Jimmy, you can reach him at leasebusters.ca. And actually, if you go on that site, there's tons of bargains on there.
Really? And some that don't smell.
And some that don't smell. Okay, Alan, put your sandwich away. When we come back, we're going to be on the phones one after the other.
All right, Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Okay, we're on the phone.
Oh, I get it now.
I had to explain him the commercial of Uncle
Seriously,
Carl.
Seriously, I wondered who Uncle Carl was.
He's a gas generator.
Oh, so he's the guy who says, pull my finger?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go back to our calls. We got Bob in Scarborough's been hanging on the line. Thanks for hanging, Bob. What's your issue?
I have to turn the speakerphone on. I've been hanging too long.
I know. Your ear must be sore, too.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Okay, I have a Toyota. It's a 2012 Avalon, and I got a recall notice from the Toyota manufacturer, and it says our records indicate that you currently own an affected vehicle.
Yeah.
So it has to do with the seat belt. And the other day, while my wife was driving it, it came on in a steady tone, and then the seat belt indicator came on, and it said off.
Uh-huh.
So I took it into the dealer, and they didn't know too much about it. They phoned Toyota Canada, and finally they'd ended up down in the States. But anyway, the crotch of the story is that it wasn't doing it at the time, so they said they couldn't test it. But
right.
They said that they would put me on record, and from what I understand, that it's a 3 to 4 months replacement parts, only piece of plastic. And I said to them, well, why don't you put a 2011 on it? And they're still new parts, or 2013. They said they couldn't do that.
That's right.
But then it says, don't drive the car. It could cause a fatality. So I said to them, what happens if I get in an accident and there's a fatality, hopefully not, or an injury? Is Toyota liable for it? And they wouldn't give me any comment on it.
In effect, they should have actually given you a replacement vehicle if the car is not safe.
Well, 3 to 4 months.
I know, but I've seen when Ford had a recall for the Freestars, Freestars.
Yeah, that was a big problem.
The rear axles would rust
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they actually had to give people cars if they couldn't.
For months.
Yeah, couldn't get them fixed in time.
Yeah, so I would go back and say, look, if this car is not drivable, if it's unsafe.
Well, according to them, it is because it doesn't come up all the time. It's sporadic, and they can only test it when it's offline.
Question. Have you only spoken to the dealer? Have you actually called the manufacturer?
I did. I called Toyota Canada, and they couldn't give me any answers. And I went back to the dealer, and the dealer said, well, you'd have to contact the States because in Canada, they're just more or less distributors. But they do make them here, I don't know.
No, I would go back. I wouldn't let this go. I think it probably means that the seatbelts won't allow the airbags to fire. If the seatbelts aren't on, the airbags may not function.
Well, what Honda has an issue with that, a big problem.
Oh, they all have.
The seatbelt is functioning as it should. The only problem is the switch inside that tells the airbag computer.
Yeah, they said they just need to put a little plastic something or another in there, and that's why I said, well, take one off of 13 or...
Right.
They can't do that because the car is designed a certain way, and now they take the liability in...
All right, Bob, we got to run, but good luck with that, eh?
Contact
Thanks for calling
Toyota.
In.
Go back there and fight.
All right, we're going to go to Hamilton next and speak to Paul, who's got some kind of problem. Paul?
Yeah, good afternoon. Good morning.
We apologize for... Yeah, it probably is afternoon by now.
What kind of issue you got there, Paul?
I got a couple of things.
Yeah.
Lady that phoned in earlier on the tranny problem.
Yes.
With the Pontiac,
with all those coats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a similar problem with a Honda Civic coming back from Florida one year.
Right.
And I had to go back with a trailer to pick it up.
Uh-huh.
But in order to move it, I disconnected the battery and rehooked it up.
Right.
It cleared all the coats.
Right, and then the car was starting to move, eh?
And then the car moved.
Okay, well, maybe she's listening. She could try that. You had another question?
Yeah, I got a 54 Ford station wagon.
Uh-huh.
And what I was hoping to do was talk to somebody from the auction company to see where and how they list these cars and how much time they need before the car goes to the auction.
Jeff, well, we got Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance who just came back from the auction. Jeff, can you help us out on this?
Yeah, contact the Collector Car Productions, CCP Auctions. Dan Spendick is the person that runs that. And I know they have another auction coming up sometime in the spring. I don't think they have a date for it yet, but
they've got
plenty of time before that next auction. And that is the biggest auction in Ontario for classic
cars. Yeah, because what I have is a one of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's a 54 Ford, it's a Country Squire Woody Wagon.
Right.
Oh, nice.
You want Stan's his phone number for Dan Spendick? I'll give you his number.
Okay.
I am so good, I got to tell you. 416... 923-7500.
7500.
Yeah, that's his office number. And talk to them, and then he'll give you what's what and who's and what's there.
Yeah, because the car is insured through Lant Insurance. And
super. Great. Thank you. We appreciate
When the fellow appraised it, he said he gave me a fairly reasonable price on the appraisal, but I still think it's way too low.
Right.
But he says the problem with my car is there's no precedence.
Right.
Well, you know what?
Because it's a one-off.
You know, contact our office, and we can research the value for you. Maybe have a little more resources than that appraiser and get an accurate value on it.
All right, Paul, thanks for calling in.
All right, then. Thank you.
All right, take care.
And Lant Insurance, just go to our website, and you can pick it up.
Lantinsurance.ca.
There you go. All righty. I think that's the show.
Exactly. So
okay.
Don't be smoking in your car. Because you could get arrested for it.
Don't drive an old car.
And if the old stink stays there, you're going to get less for it in the end.
And the bottom line is if your car is stored, you got to keep it insured. Right? Yep. Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Guys, pleasure.
Alan, great show. Thank you again.
Anytime, Dave.
Big thank you to Carrie Schmidt and Jim Matthews for the information. And to Sebastian. Without him, nothing moves. Actually, without a salesman, nothing moves. Anyways, have a great weekend, and we'll see you here next
Drive
week.
Drive safe, everyone.
And if you're on the phones, keep hanging on, because we'll take your call next.
Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.